The Gospel can be found on page 976 in the Church Bibles or page 1727 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 42.
Glory to you.
Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So as we remain standing, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Can I also say a very, very big thank you to you all for your prayers, your support and your encouragement over the past many years. I wouldn't be here without you as well, so thank you. Thank you for your support. So this morning, we return to our studies in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, which was read so well for us by Lloyd. There was lots and lots of detail in that chapter. You'll be grateful, hopefully, to know that, or possibly to know that I won't be going into the detail. I'm going to step back, and we're going to take a bit of a big picture of that chapter. So in this week's episode, we leave Elijah for a while to focus on King Ahab as we learn more about God's grace. So let's quickly recap some of the history and geography of what we're talking about. Together, the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings relate the history of the Israelite monarchy. From its rise, culminating in King David around 1000 BC, to its fall at the hands of the Babylonians in 522 BC. The history of Israel reached its high point under the reigns of King David and his son, King Solomon. On Solomon's death, the country fell into civil war and divided into the northern kingdom of Israel, which became Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital in Jerusalem, that became Judea. And our reading this morning is set in about 850 BC. We're in the northern kingdom of Israel under the reign of King Ahab. And the Bible tells us that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord and did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all of the other kings of Israel before him. He did this by setting up a nationwide false religion of Baal worship, totally opposed to God. So when Ahab is faced with the threat of Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, which is modern-day Syria, Ahab does not take the problem to God because Ahab has utterly rejected God. He is as far from God as any person can be. And yet, because the Israelites are God's chosen people, God does not turn his back on Ahab, but says to him, "I will save you. And then you will know that I am God." God wants Ahab and the Israelites to come back to him. God's heart is always for his creation. He loves everything that he has made. Psalm 33, verse 5 tells us that the earth is full of God's unfailing love. He wants the very best for us. And by us, I mean humanity, the world, creation. But in spite of our attitude to God, And in spite of our attitude to God, he constantly offers us chance after chance to turn back to him. So God gives Ahab the victory. And Ben-Hadad and what is left of his army flee back to Aram. But there is no mention in the Bible of Ahab giving thanks to God. No mention of Ahab acknowledging God's help in any way. But in spite of Ahab's lack of gratitude, God sends a prophet to warn him to be ready for an attack the following spring. And sure enough, the following spring, Ben-Hadad returns with another vast army. The Israelites are so outnumbered, they look like two small flocks of goats on the hillside, while Ben-Hadad's army covers the entire countryside. Again, no mention of Ahab turning to God in any way. Even so, God gives Ahab the victory, the complete victory, and Ben-Hadad has to beg Ahab for his life. Again, not surprisingly, no mention of Ahab acknowledging God as the source of his nation's deliverance. No mention of his gratitude. Often in life we face difficulties. It's entirely possible that we might even come to believe that it is we who, through our own ability, our intelligence, our strength, have overcome these difficulties. We can then fail to acknowledge that it is God who has made us and equipped us, and that he is working beyond our knowledge for our good. How easy it is for us to believe we do not need God at all. Instead of turning to God, Ahab uses the opportunity to make a very sweet deal. Now, looking through our Christian eyes, we could say that Ahab is being merciful, that he is forgiving his enemy, he's loving his enemy, he even calls his enemy his brother. Through our secular lens, we could say that Ahab is being wise and shrewd. He has taken what looks like a very bleak situation and turned it into something very beneficial to him and his nation. There will be peace and prosperity. But Ahab is basically saying, thank you for solving my problem, God, but I can take it from here. Often, we only come to God when we have big problems. When life is going well, God is far from our thoughts. When we need him, he's always there. But when the problem is over, we turn our backs on him. Thank you, God. If I need you again, I'll be in touch. Don't call me, I'll call you. And yet God longs for us to welcome him into every moment of our lives. He longs for us to love him as he loves us. Not because he needs our love, but because remaining close to God is the best thing for us. And God wants the best for us. Now, once God had won the battle for Ahab, Ahab decided what should happen next. The problem is that it wasn't down to Ahab to decide. The victory belonged to God. The outcome was therefore God's to decide, not Ahab's. And through the words of a prophet, God lets Ahab know. The prophet pretends that he has been wounded in the battle and was ordered to hold on to a prisoner under pain of death. But in the thick of the battle, the prisoner escaped. God offers Ahab an opportunity to be merciful to this wounded soldier. God gives Ahab another chance. But Ahab shows no sympathy or compassion. His callous attitude is, tough luck on the soldier. If he can't afford the fine, he must pay with his life. The prophet then removes his disguise and pronounces the same sentence on Ahab. Because God had given Ben-Hadad into the hands of Ahab, and Ahab had let him go, so Ahab's life is forfeit. What response do we see from Ahab? Remorse? Repentance? Sadly, no. Like a deceitful person caught out in a lie, Ahab is sullen and angry. And he returns to his palace in Samaria, presumably to sulk and stew. At every turn, Ahab seems to take God completely for granted. Like a spoilt child, he does what he wants, behaves as badly as he likes, is rude and disrespectful to his parents, never sorry, never learning, and never grateful for being bailed out. As contemptuous of God as Ahab was, God constantly gave him chance after chance. God's grace and mercy extend to everyone, especially those most lost, even Ahab. After all, Jesus says in the Gospels, there is more celebrating in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 who don't need to repent. And in one parable, Jesus says that the farm laborers who work for just 1 hour get exactly the same wages as those who have worked all day. God's grace and mercy is his to dispense as he sees fit. But how we respond is down to us. When speaking to people about what Jesus has done for them, how by his death on the cross he has paid the penalty of their sin, people will often say, "I never asked him to do that for me." And of course, they're right. But part of God's nature, his supernature, is always to bless first. Whether we ask or not, whether we deserve or not, whether we are grateful or not, God's grace through Christ has come first. He offers this grace to the whole world. He says, "I have defeated the army of sin for you. I have defeated the army of death for you." And then everyone gets a chance to choose their response to God's grace, to accept it or reject it. And the big challenge for us in the church, we who have accepted God's grace in Christ Jesus, is how we in turn show God's grace to others, even to the Ahabs of our time and our place, always ready to bless first, to forgive first, to love first, regardless of the response that we receive. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your constant love for us. Help us always to be grateful, and help us to be courageous channels of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.